All right, well, we're continuing our series on Rest Assured, How to Know You Are a Christian. It's good to see you all this evening virtually. You're seeing me. I trust that you're there. And I could check my live stream app and see how many people are actually watching now or not, but it may be too depressing, so I won't look. So, but nevertheless, we're continuing our series on how to know that you're a Christian. And that is one of the most fundamental things in a person's life, is to know if you are a Christian, and not just think that you're a Christian, but that you know. And as we talked about last week, we talked about indicators of assurance, and this is part two of that lesson and that thought. And we're looking at part two tonight, which is a new attitude towards sin. And with that thought in mind, let's turn over to 1 John, 1 John chapter 1. We'll look at a little passage through 1 John chapter 1 and then into chapter 2 just a little bit. And then we'll make some comments about that and get right into the lesson. But thank you for joining us this evening. And I pray that this lesson will be a blessing. But in 1 John chapter 1 and beginning verse 5, it says this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's just ask God to bless the reading of his word and the lesson tonight. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for the reading of it. Lord, thank you for these wonderful words here in 1 John about your goodness, your holiness, and Lord, the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, the redemption, the propitiation, the atonement, the covering for our sin. And Lord, I just thank you that you're our advocate, and that Jesus Christ advocates on our behalf to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless me and help me as I teach this lesson. I pray that you'd bless each person that's listening tonight, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would give them great confidence in their salvation. And Lord, that they would then use that confidence to share the gospel and the truth of salvation with others. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't have that confidence tonight, Lord, you know that, and the Holy Spirit can very much convict them of their need of salvation and to give them that assurance that they need in their life. And I pray that you would just help those that haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior yet. Please deal with them through your word tonight as well. Just bless this time together in your word, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we talked about earlier, we looked at some different sources of assurance. Before we got into the indicators, we talked about the sources of assurance. And those are things that that are the source of our salvation, and that is what causes us to be saved. Now, indicators like we're talking about tonight, they're not salvation. They're not what saves us. You can't look at the indicator of salvation. Boy, I know I'm saved because of this indicator. Now, with the indicator, however, it gives you that confidence. And just like I said last week in the lesson, if you have zero indicators of salvation, that is indicative of a problem. There is some sort of issue there. If you don't have any indicators in your life of salvation, that is an indication to you that there's a problem there. But you do need to have the sources. You need to look back at the gospel. You need to look at that time when you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of our salvation. What he did on the cross for us, that's what we can count on. The prayer that we prayed, or the warm, fuzzy feeling that we had, or the fact of the Holy Spirit bearing witness in our life, And those things are indicators. Those things are important, and those things should be there as part of our salvation. But those are just indicators. And tonight, as we look at our attitude towards sin, that is also just an indicator of your salvation. But we can find great comfort in our assurance, but also with those indicators. If you don't have any of these indicators in your life, it can warn you of the fact that you may not be saved. And then that's what's so important about these indicators, and that's why we're going to cover it this evening. And last week we talked about the Spirit's witness in our life, that the Holy Spirit indwells us as a believer when we're saved. As soon as we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit. He takes residence in our life. If we do not have the Holy Spirit, we're not saved. And the Scripture simply bears that out. But tonight we're going to talk about our attitude towards sin. And I hope that if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you found that once you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your attitude towards sin changed. And they're leading up to your salvation, your attitude towards sin, there should have been an acknowledgement of the fact that your sin was the problem. It's not hell. It's not your concern about that. It's not the direction your life is headed. You should be confronted very seriously about the sin that is in your life and the fact that it needs to be dealt with. And that's the problem in your life that you need to deal with, that Jesus Christ can save you from, and that Jesus Christ desires to save you from, and that Jesus Christ did save you from if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That sin is the problem. And as we understand, if our sin is the problem that was sending us to hell, inherently our attitude towards our sin should change. And we should have a different perspective on sin once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior than we did ever before that. And so we'll look at that tonight. And there's a great illustration here about this idea. You know, you sometimes get smart aleck people and people that, you know, you've probably talked to, maybe even knocking doors. And this guy goes to a preacher and says, you know, you preach about the fact that there's this burden of sin. And there's this burden of sin. And he's like, I feel absolutely nothing. In fact, I feel great. I'm a good person. I don't even know what you're talking about. And the preacher very astutely said, let me ask you something, young man. If you laid a 400-pound weight on a corpse, would it feel it? You know it doesn't feel anything. And if you're dead in trespasses and sin, you have no acknowledgement of the fact of the sin in your life. You're leading your life. You're doing exactly what your flesh, what your life, what you want to do. And there's no acknowledgement. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit and the confrontation of the gospel. Now, we do have a conscience that God places in us. And we understand inherently that some things are wrong. But on a day-by-day basis, a lost person isn't worried about their sin. Not in one iota. And if you can look back to that time in your life, you weren't walking around worried about your sin and your relationship with God. No, very much the contrary. You're going, leading your life, doing the things that you enjoy to do. If it feels good, do it. If the world thinks it's cool, you do it. If you want to do it, you do it. You don't have any consideration of how does God feel about this topic. That wasn't anything that ever crossed your mind. And dealing with sin was not something that someone prior to salvation deals with. But once true conversion has occurred, God's Word and God's Spirit brings to the person repentance. But then after that, the Holy Spirit of God begins to work in our life and begins to show us things. That sanctification process that takes place as we're confronted with things, we understand, wow, oh, and the preacher preached it, and that thing in my life is wrong. And there's a problem here. Now I'm confronted with what God says. God says very clearly in His Word, and the Holy Spirit's convicting me of that. Then I understand that there's something I need to do about my sin. But before someone comes to salvation, they don't have any understanding of that. They don't have any of that understanding of that feeling of needing to deal with sin. And they have no desire to confess it to God or deal with it. And when you desire to come to Christ, there has to be a time that you realize your true sinfulness. And that is vitally important. And before the prodigal son returned to the father, it says he came to himself. And I think every single person that has a testimony of salvation understands that time in your life when you come to yourself and realize, this isn't working. I am wrong. My way is wrong. Everything is wrong. I understand my relationship with God is wrong. And you come to a point where I know for my own life, I came to a point that God didn't audibly speak to me, but the Holy Spirit of God dwelt in me. And he's like, Ben, if you don't deal with this right now, you may never deal with this. And that burden of sin, I was carrying it around. I knew exactly what was going on in my heart. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I didn't want to deal with it. And it wasn't until that time that I came to myself, and God just basically hit me up over the head and said, Ben, you need to deal with this right now. And I knew in my heart that I had been running from God and rejecting the Holy Spirit's conviction in my life. And I knew that if I didn't deal with it right then, I had a choice to make. Am I going to accept Jesus Christ and his salvation that is made available through the cross? Or I was going to reject him. And I honestly believe that if I hadn't dealt with that, I don't know if he would have kept dealing with me in the way that he was. But I'm very thankful for the grace of God in bringing me to come to myself. And the just like the prodigal son came to himself, when we respond to the gospel, we have to come to ourselves first. But without the conscious awareness of sin, there is no perceived need of forgiveness anyway. And then that's exactly what we're talking about tonight, that people who are in a lost condition, who haven't been confronted with the gospel, they don't realize that they need to even deal with their sin, and so there's no need, there's no problem. If there's no awareness, then there's no problem. And sometimes people say, you know, out of sight, out of mind, or ignorance is bliss. Well, with sin, ignorance is not bliss, but unfortunately, the vast majority of the world lives in that state. Blissfully unaware of the destruction that they're heading to. And that's why we have such an important responsibility as Christians to communicate the fact to them that they are lost, that their sin is a problem, and that they're on their way to hell. But and that's why we need to generate that awareness. But just leading their life, there is not that awareness of sin. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if you still have your Bibles open, turn over there. I love this passage. I use this scripture reference for a password for a long, long time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I don't use it anymore, so you can't try to hack into any of my accounts. They're all changed, hopefully. I think I've got them all at this point. But it says this. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's such an important thing to be reminded of. Man, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, all things become new. And one of those things that becomes new is our attitude and approach to sin. It better change. And it does change. For someone who has truly been regenerated, it does change. God is faithful. He says that we're a new creature, and our attitude does change. And with that change comes several things. And one of those things, as we look back in our text in John chapter 1, the first thing is an awareness of God's holiness. And I think you see that, you should see that captured. And we're gonna kind of break it down as we go through 1 John here, and let's look back at verse 5. But it says this, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Man, I just love that picture of light. Bright, brilliant light. Darkness has no power. Once you turn the light on, the darkness is dispelled. And you can't, You can't pour enough dark. You can't get your darkness bucket, and you can't pour. You could take an unlimited amount of darkness, and just one little crack of light will dispel all that darkness. But yet God is light, and that imagery, it portrays the fact that he is pure, morally perfect, and without any flaw. And boy, we need the light of God to shine into our lives. You know, we have a tendency sometimes to have darkness and allow darkness to creep into our lives. But in God's light, that is how, and by His standard of holiness, is how people are judged. It says in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, it says, "Ye shall be holy, for I am holy." And in Habakkuk 1 and verse 13, it says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." You know, our attitude, and I think this is good, very practical teaching for those of us who even aren't concerned or have that perfect assurance of their salvation, is an understanding of God's hatred towards sin. We, in our society, it's very easy for us as Christians to become callous to the thought of sin and have an attitude, that's not that big of a deal. Or, oh, that's fine. You know, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a good person. I know how to dress right in church. And there's just certain things that they're not a problem for me. Now, for those other people, they may be a problem. But I've kind of got things figured out. And God has an absolute hatred towards sin. And we need to have that realized and understanding so we can look at sin in the right way. Unfortunately, I think the reason why so many of us struggle with sin and allow sin to creep in our lives and allow darkness to be there is because we do not get it. We do not see sin in the same way that God sees it. We do not hate sin the way God hates it. We do not look at sin and look at sin with the holy eyes like God does. Now, obviously, we're not holy, but we need to understand God's holiness so we can understand how unworthy and how sinful we truly are. And Isaiah got a picture of this in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. He says this. He said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And Peter, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, he says this. It says, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" And we need to get that picture of God. We need to get that picture of God's holiness and understand how holy and pure He is. And so we will have the right and proper perspective on sin. And when we see God's truth in His Word and the Holy Spirit deals with us and we see God's holiness and understand how holy and pure and righteous and bright and light He is, we will begin to start to understand and be aware of the sin in our life. Boy, we just need to look at every single thing that we do. We need to just get the light out. And we need to just, you know, we've got the light on our phone. We've got lights all over the place. You know, back in the good old days, they had to get out, you know, a candle or oil lamp or do all these kinds of things. Man, we've got light here. We just flip the switch on. But unfortunately, with all the light that we have, I'm afraid there's a lot of spiritual darkness that we're not turning the spiritual light on and looking and searching in every single aspect of our life to look and see the sin and the darkness and dispelling the darkness in our life. But God is light. And in that, in considering that, let's look in verse 6. It says this. It says, "If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." And we find from this passage that the unbeliever is unaware of God's light. They don't understand God's light, and they're really unaware of His holiness, and their life isn't affected by God's holiness and His righteousness. And it says, you know, if we say we have fellowship with Him, but we're just walking around in darkness all the time, there's a problem. And in fact, he says there, it says, we lie. If you're walking in darkness and you're not doing the truth, but you say you've got a relationship with God, John's saying, I didn't say it, you lie. And that's something that we have to place a lot of consideration. I don't want to talk anybody out of their salvation. I shouldn't be able to talk you out of your salvation. But your life is consistently darkness, 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 and there's no walking in the light, There's a lack of an indicator there. And it's definitely something that you need to be looking into for sure. John says, you lie and do not the truth. And so, and let's look on at verse 7. And the believer, though, walks in God's light. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. With the unbeliever being in darkness, they don't have any awareness of God's holiness, and they don't live a life affected by the thought that they're going to be judged by God, that they have a holy God that's going to look at their life and examine their life and is walking and is watching how they walk and what they do. They don't understand that they're going to give an account to God one day. And there's many that do understand that fact, but just don't want to even consider it or just want to deny the existence of God so that they can live their life and do whatever that they want to. But the believer, on the other hand, should very much walk in the light. And what does that mean? It means that God's holiness is not just a thought exercise. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, that means that there should be some things that show up in our life that manifest this fact that we're walking in light. It should show up in our speech. It should show up in where we go. It should show up in our relationships with one another and how we talk to our spouse. And how we drive around Springfield. And in every single aspect of our life, the light should show forth in our life that we are walking in light. And our, as a transformed believer lives the new life in the light of God's holiness, the deeds that were once dark are exposed. And that should not just happen the first couple weeks we get saved. Now, there will be a lot of big things. I mean, there'll be some big rocks. And then those first few weeks that we get saved, it's like, boy, I was completely unaware of that. Now, it's different for different people. People who didn't grow up in church, man, there's a lot of learning that needs to be done. And learning God's word and the things that need to be corrected and changed in our life. You may have grown up in church and you understand a lot of things that the Bible already teaches about that things and understand that they're wrong. But just because you understand that they're wrong doesn't mean that you're walking in light and actually obeying them. And that can frequently be a problem in independent Baptist churches. Boy, we know a lot of rules. And we have a lot of light. We just don't let the actual light shine into our life to actually change what we do. We just allow the darkness, we just like to sit in the shade and allow the darkness to be there and go on, not doing what we ought to do. But the light should change our perspective on sin. And living in the truth of God's holiness, that means that we will do something about those sins that we used to just love. Those sins that we hold on to, that we treasure, that we love to do so much. Those things that we love so much. That idea of repentance, if it's something that we loved and were attracted to, if we truly repent, we will hate that thing. That thing that caused Jesus Christ to die on the cross. We should have a completely different attitude about our sin and about the sins that so easily beset us. We should hate those things if we live in a life walking in the light. But then the question becomes, then how does the believer and how do we deal with the sin that's in our life? As we read here in 1 John, we understand that we are going to sin. And how we deal with sin is with confession. And the confession of sin is the second element in our new attitude towards sin. And notice this in verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Have you ever talked to those people before? They're like, what are you talking about? I don't ever sin. And that type of unawareness is just striking to me. I mean, it doesn't take me very long, any day, to be very aware of the sinfulness in my own life and the sin that I have to deal with and the attitudes and all those kinds of things. And I was reading a passage of Scripture just yesterday, not in my normal Bible reading, but for some of the stuff I was doing for Bible Institute. And man, there was a verse that just hit me upside the head, and it's like, well, that's wicked. Yes, God, I need to confess that. I need to deal with that sin just right now. And we should be aware of our sin. And when we are confronted with a sin, we should confess it. But the unbeliever does not confess sin. They say we have no sin. And many who claim to be Christians who do not deal with their sin, there's a problem there. That is very, very concerning, especially Christians, so-called Christians who live their life in open sin and are completely unaffected by the preaching and teaching of God's word, by the witness of what God's word says, by their own conscience, by the Holy Spirit dealing with them, and just leave their life. Verse 8 says that is someone who has deceived themselves and the truth isn't in them. That's what that indicates. And the unbeliever does not confess sin. And it says in verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So if we're saying that we don't have sin and there's no problems in our life and there's nothing that I need to deal with, by doing that and by saying that very thing, you're doing something that I would not ever want to do. And I don't think any smart person would want to do is call God a liar. Now, there's a lot of liars around, but I can assure you God is not one of them. He is light, and he is also 100% truth. And there is no falseness in God, and he is certainly not a liar. But when we say that we have sinned, we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar. And because we never see God's holiness, and an unbeliever who never sees God's holiness, they never see their unholiness. And that's one of the biggest problems is someone who has not seen themselves in a sinner, they think they're okay, and they are self-deceived and accusing God of being a liar and saying, I have no problems in my life. And if you have no problems in your life, then there is no reason why Jesus Christ should have died. So you're just saying you're not the problem, but just everybody else is. I mean, that's kind of all that you're saying there. Or everybody's good. And I've even had people, I've even talked to different people who've even get counsel. It's like, God just loves everybody. You can do whatever you want to. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and therefore you're okay. But that totally separates the fact that God also is a God of justice, that God is truly holy, that God cannot look on sin. And so we're going to look at that here in just a second. But it is so important that, one, we understand God's holiness so we will see our unholiness. And then, as we understand the fact that we are unholy, that we will confess that sin. And the person that does not confess their sin is sitting in darkness. You're completely in the dark. And not only that, you have done one of the most dangerous things that you can do is that you haven't deceived everybody else. And many times people who are in sin and living their life, they're deceiving a lot of people. But the most tragic thing is they're actually deceiving their own selves and by thinking that they're okay. And someone who has deceived themselves, accused God, is absolutely not in the light and certainly does not have eternal life. But what does the believer do? Let's look at verse 9. It says this. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, that is a wonderful, wonderful comfort for someone who knows that they're a sinner, that we have something that we can do about that sin that we deal with every single day. And confession should be an ongoing reality in the life of every single believer. That should be something that is just a consistent part, just like you brush your teeth every day. Hopefully you brush your teeth every day. And it kind of depends. If you deal with teenagers sometimes or juniors, you got to watch out for them. Sometimes that can be a problem. But just for you juniors out there, you are supposed to brush your teeth every day. That's free, but that's something you ought to do. And you really probably ought to do it a couple times a day. But at least, please, for everybody's sake, please do it at least once, okay? All right, public service announcement over. We're going to move back into it. But confession should be something that we have in every single day of our life. And John doesn't say this. He does not say that if we have eternal life, if at some point we confess, but rather he says, if we confess. And as we grow in our awareness of God's holiness, have you ever thought, you know, boy, I'm doing pretty good. Man, I have made some progress in my life. I've dealt with this sin. I've dealt with this sin. I've got this out of my life. I've added this into my life. It's like, whew, okay, good to go. And then Sunday comes. And then the preaching comes. And God shines a light over here and he's like, oh yeah, but what about that? And you're like, seriously? I mean, it's like, I just dealt with this and this and this, and I thought I was doing so good. And now you're saying that this is wrong in my life, and this is wrong, and I need to confess this, and this is sinful and wicked. Yes, that's absolutely right. That's progressive sanctification. You're going to be continued. God, as he shines a light in more and more aspects of your life, you're going to find more and more things that are wrong. But that is God's part of his purification process in our life and part of making us more like him. He's going to shine those things into our light. And so we can confess it, so we can get it right, and so we can restore that fellowship with him. And so one of the things we need to understand, I appreciate Brother David highlighting this in the lesson, is that when we look at verse 9, and it talks about the fact that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some people may misconstrue that to say, oh, this is because God is so pleased with me because I'm confessing that he's going to forgive me of my sins. Now, that's not what it's talking about at all. The reason why you're getting forgiven for your sins has nothing to do with you whatsoever. It's all 100% of what Jesus Christ did, and that the fact that his sacrifice on the cross paid the penalty for our sin. That's why we are given forgiveness, is because of the cleansing that rests in Jesus, not because of anything of ourselves. But confession does not make us righteous. Jesus is the one that makes us righteous. And don't ever forget that. It's not your confession that makes you right with God. But we can keep our, and we can't keep our account cleaned off by confession or anything like that. Jesus is the one that cleaned it. Jesus is the one that gives us the clean slate. It's not us. But confession is evidence of the forgiven life. It's not a way to receive. It's not a way to receive the forgiveness itself. The reason why we get received forgiveness is because of Jesus and because of his work. And that goes right back to the source of our assurance, is right back to Jesus. And he is the source. Our confession is an indication of the fact that we are saved. And so those that confess their sins, let's look in verse 1 of chapter 2 now. It says this. It says, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so finally, those that confess their sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. John doesn't say, don't sin. Because he knows that that's not going to happen. He knows every single one of us are going to sin. Now, that should be our aspiration. Boy, we should strive and try not to sin. But John understands, we've already covered that in the prior verses, that we are going to sin. We understand that. We will have sin. But he says this, if you sin, you have an advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the one that's going to represent you. He is going the one that's going to defend you. And he is the one that's going to say, this has already been taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he is the propitiation. Jesus Christ is the one that atones for our sin. He's the one that covers it in God's eyes. It's through him. And I apologize, I misspoke just a little bit. John is saying he doesn't want us to sin. But then he goes on to say, if any man sin, we have an advocate. I mean, John's desire, I'm sorry, I didn't quite say that. I want to just clarify that. But we do have that advocate, and he is the one that gives us the atonement, the propitiation in the sight of God. And Jesus Christ is the one that appeased God's just and holy wrath that was placed right on my sin and right on your sin. And we need to be so thankful for that fact that Jesus Christ is the one that when we ask for forgiveness, he goes to God the Father. Jesus Christ says, just look at what I've done. Look at my work. And Ben's sin, and fill your name in there. They're all clean. Just look at my record. Don't look at his. And I'm so thankful that God isn't looking at my record. And I know that if you'll be honest about your sin, you're very thankful that God isn't looking at your record either. But we should be so thankful for what Jesus Christ gives us, the forgiveness of our sins. And the mark of one that has an advocate is that confession. It's us confessing our sins. It's saying, God, I am broken. I am wrong. And I want to encourage us as Christians. You know, sometimes we can be so funny. You know, we acknowledge that why did Jesus Christ die? Well, because all people are sinners. And we understand that. And then what happens? People sin. And then we're like, oh, I can't believe they sinned. I am just so mortified. Oh, let's shun these people. I can never have a relationship. I can't believe they did that. Why do we do that? When we do that, we are denying everything that we just read in John chapter. And it's not that we shouldn't strive to lead holy lives, but we also need to understand that every single one of us are broken. Every single one of us are fallen. It's only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we have any righteousness in and of ourselves at all. It's only his imputed righteousness in our lives. And confession is an acknowledgement of that fact that our sin is a problem. And every single one of us have sin. And I think it would help be an encouragement to one another if we'd be a little bit more transparent and a little less self-righteous about the fact that, oh, no, we would never sin. Oh, we would never do anything. No, we all sin. And we all have problems. We all have troubles. We all have things that we need to deal with in our life. Even the preacher, believe it or not. The preacher, Ben Forrester, every single one of you listening has sin that needs to be confessed and dealt with in our life. And how we do that is by confessing it through the blood of Jesus Christ and allowing the light of God and the fact that God is light to shine in our life. And he wants to remove every bit of darkness in your life. He wants to shine that light. And the best way to dispel the darkness is to allow the light of God's word, to allow the light of God to shine into every single aspect of your life. Allow him to examine you. Open yourself up and just let the light of God shine in. And where that darkness is, let the light dispel the darkness. So as we wrap up, I've just got two questions tonight. Are you not bothered by sin? If you are not bothered by sin, something is very seriously wrong and needs to be dealt with right away. If you're a Christian, if you say, I know I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but you're living a life completely unbothered by sin, and there's no problems in your life whatsoever, there's something wrong there. And if you're just living a life that's saying, I don't even know what you're talking about, Brother Ben, there's no problems here. If there is not an ongoing struggle, you need to look at the gospel. You need to understand why Jesus Christ died. Because the way I read the Bible and the way John writes to us here, he's saying every single one of us are sinners. And if they say they're not a sinner, they're a liar. So we've got to be bothered by our sin. And then if you are bothered by your sin, you know, you may be saying, well, the reason why I'm having doubts about my salvation, I'm lacking the assurance of my salvation, is because of my sin. Well, that should be encouraging the fact that you are bothered by your sin, because that is a mark of a believer, not a mark of an unbeliever. But you also need to revisit the gospel too and understand why Jesus Christ died for the sins that you're struggling with. And you need to confess and forsake those sins and show your confidence in Jesus' death for you and the fact that he can heal you and cleanse you of those sins. He wants to forgive you. He wants to make you right. He wants to shine the light of the gospel in your life. And regular confession of sin and struggling and fighting against the sin in your life, that is not a sign of lostness, but that is a great indicator of one that is saved. So I just want to encourage you tonight. How are you doing with sin? Where are you at with sin? Are you fighting against it? Or are you oblivious to it? Either which way, Jesus Christ died for your sin. He has either saved you from your sin or he desires to save you from your sin. But make sure that you have this indicated in your life, that you confess your sin and that you desire to have that new attitude of walking in the light of God when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Preacher.
Thank you, Brother Ben.